I said, hey, hey, how you doing? Time for a brand new day. Get up, get out, let's get happy. Start your day with Cliffo and Gabby.
I am pretty disturbed this morning. I'm normally pretty disturbed, but for a specific reason today.
Okay.
One of my favourite things of all time, if I have a day off or if I have a spare couple of hours, is to go over to Maggie and do the Ford's Walk. It's just beautiful. The most beautiful walk. It has gorgeous views the whole way around.
And it's a good level of challenging as well, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's like it's not too hard, but it's not too easy.
Yes. It's just that nice level of I'm exercising, but I'm not puffed.
Yeah.
But the other really great part about it is the koala spotting while you're going. So the first time I did it, I only saw one koala, but I was so excited. It's the first time I'd ever seen a koala in the wild.
Yeah.
The second time, I saw four koalas.
Get out.
But every time I've seen them, they've just been snoozing. They might open one eye and have a little squeeze and then go back to sleep. They're not doing anything exciting. And I've never actually thought to myself, what noise does a koala make?
I just assumed they were mute.
I did too. And that is why I am disturbed today, because I was tagged in a video on Facebook of a koala getting a little territorial and making koala noises.
Oh, get out, really?
This is what a koala actually sounds like.
No.
Yep.
That's just a farm pig.
That, my friend,
no,
is a koala.
Get out.
It just grunts at you and makes these horrible, like this cute little cuddly thing that you just want to squish, and then it starts grunting at you.
Sounds like a toad as well,
it's
actually.
It's not an attractive sound, I'm not going to lie. If that's the call for like mating season, woohoo, I'd be running the other way.
No, mate, that's just a drop there.
It's not even a koala. Cliffo and I have been talking to different people throughout the week who experienced the floods in different ways. People who had to be evacuated. Marissa, beautiful talker yesterday. You can get that on the catch up. But today we want to revisit a chat Cliffo and I had yesterday afternoon with a guy named Matt Tapp. Now, he is part of the Rural Fire Service, and he was part of actually rescuing people from their homes in the height of the floods. So this is that chat. How are you?
I'm good, yourself?
Good, thank you. So tell us a little bit about how it all started for you 1 year ago with the floods.
It all started with sandbagging with the SES. We were requested help, sandbag. Then, yeah, the flood happened. It was just amazing how quick it rose and stuff, yeah.
Tell me about that, like, because you were actually there and you saw some of the flood waters rise so rapidly. What were you seeing?
Just a lot of water coming down very quick. It was just ankle deep water. Then in 10 minutes, it was waist high. We had to get out, evacuate ourselves to safer ground before we could go and help others. So, yeah.
So with some of the evacuations you helped with, did you create any bonds with the people or hear any stories as you went?
No, not really. I've never met or never seen the people I helped.
Sure.
I helped so many, over 200.
So it was just business on the day, getting people out.
Yeah, with the Army, SES, QFIS, Queensland Fire and Rescue, Swift Water Teams. It's just one big team effort to get as many as we can out.
Tell us, how many hours did you put in?
27 hours on that day. We started
on early. That day, sir.
Yeah.
27 hours, that's a day then into the next day. That's incredible.
Yeah, we started early in the morning on the day prior.
Yeah.
Then into the night when it flooded. Then into the early next morning.
Wow. And then across the whole period, how many hours do you reckon you put in?
Over 228 days.
Whoa. That's a lot. So were you just evacuating people or what other jobs did you have?
Just at that point, we're just evacuating. I was part of the team that at the Army Barracks that was helping them get out of dump trucks and tanks. They had all sorts and using anything and everything the council was in on it.
Wow.
We just needed to save life.
Yeah.
And I guess, too, when it gets to that point, you know, anything that can move, you know, through water or whatever, if it's a dump truck or whatever, that's okay. Well, we're putting people in trucks now, you know?
Imagine being rescued by an army tank.
Yeah. I can't.
It's just a crazy thought.
It's just incredible.
And you, Matt, were actually awarded a pretty special thing after the floods finished.
I was National Flood Hero.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good to have, but it was just something that needed to be done.
Yep.
And, so many other people could have got it, So many other people deserved it more than I did, but I got it. So, yeah.
Then I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, well, you stepped up. Like, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Like, the effort you put in, you know, you, and you're right, hundreds of other people, it saved life.
Mm.
And that's what it was all about.
Yeah,
that
it wasn't
day.
Just human life, it was animal life too. Some weird things we had to rescue.
Like what?
Snakes, lizards.
Oh,
yeah, we've had some weird ones we had to help.
You're better man than me. Throw him in the water.
Snakes can swim, right?
Yeah. It's a year on since the February floods. We're meeting some incredible people. Matt, you're certainly one of those. Thanks for sharing your story, man.
That's okay, hey.
I have a new obsession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a person who plays games. Didn't really have,
hold on,
like,
in the love game or like games?
I don't play the love game either, just quietly. No, I don't play video games.
Gotcha. Not a gamer.
No, I'm not a gamer. Didn't really have any consoles back when we were younger. Like,
you didn't even have a Game Boy?
I had a Game Boy, but like everybody else had PlayStations and stuff, and I still have a Game Boy, and then everyone got Xboxes and I still have a Game Boy, and well, you know, that kind of thing. So really not into gaming. So even on my phone, I don't download a lot of games.
Sure.
I got bored the other day.
Yeah.
And I downloaded a game.
What one was it?
I wonder if you can recognize his voice.
Divine.
Candy Crush.
Honey.
Yes.
Juicy.
I am playing Candy Crush. The annoying thing about Candy Crush is that you only get 5 lives.
Yes. Do you know, so I have all 3 Candy Crushes. Mm-hmm. I have normal Candy Crush, Candy Crush Soda, and Candy Crush Jelly. Because there's 3. So if I run out of lives on one, I move on to the next.
Right.
And I just keep rotating.
Yep. So I developed this unhealthy obsession with it, and in 1 week I've managed to chew my way through like 250 episodes or something of it. But the lives thing, it's annoying. And sometimes you can win like, you know, unlimited lives for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
I got so obsessed, I Googled how do I get unlimited lives all the time.
Why have I not done this? How do you do it? How do you get unlimited lives?
Gabby, you have to time travel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a lot of effort.
Yeah. So you actually have to go into settings.
Yeah.
Take your phone off, like, set automatically.
Setup.
And then they're like, the instructions on Google, like, just flick it forward a couple hours so that you get your, you know, you'll get at least 4 things. I flip the day.
You flip a day.
I flip a day.
So if I ask you for the date tomorrow, you're going to tell me it's the 14th of March 2021 because Candy Crush has ruined your life.
Where are we at the moment? I'm so confused.
Since moving to Townsville, though, Luke, I've become more accustomed to seafood. Mm-hmm. I think the seafood here is absolutely incredible.
So much of it.
It is, and there's so much of it. And I've never lived on a coastal kind of town before.
Yep.
So I've always had, you know, that crappy seafood that has to get shipped inland and it's frozen probably 5 times before it reaches me.
Yeah, yeah.
But here it's just delicious and I've become obsessed with bugs and the fish and everything else is great. When it comes to prawns, though, I really like them. I love prawns. Mm-hmm. Give me a prawn cocktail any day of the week. Like, take me back to the 80s when they were a thing. They're delicious.
A Thousand Island dressing.
Yes! Dip them in, bit of lettuce. Amazing. But I cannot be bothered with a prawn if I've got to peel it because I feel like there is just too much effort for the reward. It's this tiny piece of meat that takes 10 minutes to de-shell. Yes, I'm very slow at it. And then you get this, you know, very small reward at the end of it. So I just can't be bothered.
Then
if they're not peeled,
like
and your hands stink for days. So if they're not peeled, I won't eat them. And I thought on 13, 12, 16, let's throw it out there. What other food is out there that is just too much effort for what it's worth?
Jace from Douglas, you're here, mate. What do you love eating but hate dealing with?
Mate, I'm going to jump on the seafood bandwagon a little bit.
Yeah.
But mine is mud crab or any crabs.
I
love eating crab meat, but it is just so much hard work to do what you've got to do. And
effort versus reward.
Explain.
You just rip the head off, cut them in half, and you're in.
And you're in. Explain the process of eating a crab, though, because I've never actually done it. What do you have to do to get to the crab meat?
Oh, it's like cracking a walnut times 1,000. It's ridiculous.
There's tweezers involved sometimes, isn't there?
Yeah, it is just too much hard work. Like, if you just ate the actual pincers, that'd be different. But you know, if you're trying to eat the legs, you know, you've got to break it open, you've got to get past the little pointy, spiky bits.
And this is why I've never eaten crab.